Yeah, great. Okay, so this is Jack here with Paul. We're going to do a whistle-stop tour of the past week's trading results. So the January rush has continued. I think we're just going to start with Monday, the 17th of January, and we'll go from there. So, Paul, you actually did more on Monday. So do you want to go first, and then I'll carry on after you?
Yeah, I think I covered three companies by the look of it. Now, my pick of the day is a stock called Hostmore, ticker MORE, which I hold personally. This operates the TGI Fridays casual dining restaurants. Now, its update was well ahead of market expectations, so positive trading update on Monday. The shares are very cheap, I think, on an EV/EBITDA basis. And I also interviewed the CEO and CFO on Wednesday this week. The next one I looked at was Brighton Pier Group, ticker PIER. That was a trading update that was comfortably in line, they said. Now, it looks quite cheap on the basis of a note from Cenkos, which has forecast the numbers. It operates a number of bars as well as Brighton Pier itself and a golfing attraction and various other things. So that's potentially interesting, although the shares have gone up a lot already. It still looks quite good value. And the third one I did on Monday was Access Intelligence, ticker ACC. Now, this was a profit warning, and I came away deeply unimpressed with this company when I looked over the numbers, and I think it's still overpriced. So that's my dog of the day, if we can call it that. So over to you, Jack.
Yeah, there's been a few pretty brutal profit warnings over the past few months. A lot of growth stocks I've flattered to deceive, I think, coming undone. But yeah, so I got two on Monday. The first one is Spentralnic, which I hold. I think this is probably my pick of the two. What Spentralnic does is online presence and online marketing. The ticker is CNIC. So it's exposed to some very big, fast-growing markets, and it's all about the kind of future growth after a few years of acquisitions. So the financials, the past financials, it's a little hard to see the progress just from a surface look there. But it's raised revenue and adjusted EBITDA guidance. Again, it's been a couple of strong updates over the past year or so, I'd say. And management says it's not just down to COVID either, the good progress. So I think it's own actions and own acquisitions. So the group's repeatedly flagged strong operating momentum. It's got the business model is supported by recurring revenues and high levels of cash conversion. The valuation is not as demanding as some US-listed peers. So all in all, I think it's potentially a growth at a reasonable price candidate. The second one was H&T, ticker HAT. This is a pawnbroker. Probably a few people know this one. It's the UK's leading pawnbroker. These were solid results. The H2 seen, second half has seen business recovering to pre-pandemic levels. There's a good mix of quality and value here. If you look at the stock ranks, also a decent dividend. The share price hasn't tended to shoot the lights out, so it might be more a quality value income kind of stock, but attractions for certain investors nevertheless. So that's the wrap of Monday, I'd say. Let's move on to Tuesday the 18th. Paul, do you want to go again?
Yeah, okay. Tuesday, I looked at several companies. Now, the standout one for the day for me was Sanderson Design Group, ticker SDG. Now, I hold this one personally, so could be unconscious bias, of course. Now, they raised profit guidance by 13%. And I crunched the numbers in Tuesday's report on Stockopedia, and I think it's cheap. It went up about 20% on the day, which I think is fully justified. And it's actually been drifting down with everything else the rest of this week. So I still think that looks very attractive. It's got a really standout strong balance sheet as well with loads of cash. Very nice company, I think. Lovely turnaround under the CEO, Lisa Montague, who's done a lot of just common sense things to turn the company around, like concentrating on their best-selling product ranges, culling the ranges of lots of you know, the products that don't really sell very well. It's wallpaper and soft furnishings, basically. So that's a really nice company, reasonably priced. Then I looked at Gattaca, G-A-T-C, a staffing company, which unfortunately has been a bit of a disaster. It warned on profits. It was a bad profit warning as well. They're only trading at around break-even currently. Unfortunately, I just don't think the company is any good. I don't have any trust in the management or belief in the forecasts anymore. So for me, that one's just uninvestable now. I'm going to forget about it. Next one, Brickability, a drop shipping supplier of bricks and other building products. Good update here, ahead of expectations. It's good value on conventional value metrics. I did raise a question about whether there was a one-off benefit possibly from the huge increase in timber prices, which might have allowed it to fatten its margin at the division that deals with timber. But that looks good for value investors. I should emphasize, Jack and I are really coming in investing from a value and growth at reasonable price perspective. So that may not be everybody's style. Next, I looked at Hotel Chocolat, ticker HOTC. Now, that was a marginally ahead of expectations H1 update. I do like this company. It's a good growth company, but the shares are expensive. And I think we're in a market where the most expensive growth-orientated companies are selling off. So I certainly wouldn't be looking to buy that right now. And finally, last one was Blanco, is it Blanco Technologies? I think it's called BLTG. Yeah. They do secure erasure of hard drives and IT equipment. Now, the company says it's ahead of expectations, but I went through all the numbers, and they use very aggressive accounting, capitalizing costs and so on. It hasn't historically made any significant profits or cash flow. So for me, that one's, I remain to be convinced on that. Okay, over to you, Jack.
Right. Okay. So my first stock is Henry Boot. It's kind of night and day here. Ticker's BOOT. It's a family-run property development and construction company. It's conservatively run, prudent finances. It's been around for more than a century, and you know, profitable through that time. So it knows how to preserve shareholder value at very least. So it's an ahead of expectations update. It's proven its resilience, I think, over time in what can be quite a turbulent construction and home building sector. Growth initiatives are in place and conditions remain favorable. It's bumped up against the 300p barrier quite a lot in the past. So I think this is, again, in that bucket of stocks where they're sensible, they've got good quality, good value metrics, but you're probably not going to expect fireworks in the share price, but possibly steady progression. So that's Boot. The next one was Anexo. The ticker's ANX. This is a credit hiring legal services business. The update was significantly ahead. Points to a sustained recovery leading to record levels of vehicles on the road. So it's a reasonable valuation here, but I'm not a big fan of the business model, to be honest. It sounds like it's in a bit of a loophole almost, where it manages to charge credit higher rates for vehicles that it gives to people that have been in non-fault accidents, and then it charges money to the insurers. It just doesn't strike me as a solid foundation, so there's a bit of a question mark there for me. Then the final one is Ramsden's Holdings, which is much more sure of footing. It's another pawn broker along with H&T from Monday. It was an inline update. The difference between Ramsden's and H&T really is the geographic presence and the fact that Ramsden's has an FX business. So that's obviously been hit very hard by COVID. It does have a strong balance sheet, though, and I think the FX business should come back. What's more, FX and jewelry sales on the high street have been hit. So it could emerge into, markets with less supply. So, I think Ramsden's could be worth a closer look. And that's my wrap for Tuesday. So, Paul, how's Wednesday?
Wednesday, okay. There was interim results from Acrol, which didn't, this is the tissue converter company, didn't really add anything much to the trading update, the profit warning last week. So I just went through all the numbers. The balance sheet's actually okay. There's not a problem with debt there. They just present the balance sheet strangely, where they include lease liabilities as borrowings, which shouldn't be done on the face of the balance sheet. So that's an own presentational own goal. I'm just not keen on the business model. They can't control input costs, and they then have to play catch-up, passing them on to customers. But at some point, it could be a good turnaround, I think. BOTB was the disaster. That was a profit warning on Wednesday. Another profit warning. This must be, I think, the third one. The H1 figures were actually good and in line with expectations. I hold this share personally. Now, I had a catch-up with management as well yesterday, I think it was. And the fundamental problem here is nothing to do with competition, in my view. It's actually the marketing costs. They are very, very heavily reliant. Most of the marketing budget goes on Facebook and Instagram ads, and the cost of these has shot up. So the cost of player acquisition has gone up from £17 to about £50, which has totally undermined the business model. And this, I think, is a hidden flaw in the business plan that, frankly, nobody spotted. And I think we've got to bear this in mind, that there's potential read-across for all e-commerce businesses here. I think they have to advertise on Facebook and Instagram because that's the most effective form of advertising, but they can't control the cost, and it can go absolutely through the roof, as it has done with BOTB. So I'm a lot less keen on e-commerce businesses that rely very heavily on Facebook marketing. What was the next? Oh, probably my pick of the day, and this is high risk. PCI Pal, ticker PCIP. This is a niche software company that's growing incredibly strongly organically. That's the attraction. Still loss-making, but with a clear trajectory towards break-even in the next year or two. Now, it was a positive trading update ahead of expectations. The market cap is low. Big problem is they've got a patent infringement case ongoing. So I am worried about what happens with that. If that turns out badly, obviously that introduces a lot of risk. But I think the share price will be at least 50% higher if that patent infringement case wasn't ongoing. And it sounds like the company is minded to reach some sort of compromise settlement. So that's an interesting speculative one. Christie's Group put out a strong trading update. I think it's reasonably priced. Worth a look for value investors maybe, but I'm just not sure there's enough upside on that, and it's a bit of a feast or famine type business. Shares have just gone sideways, zigzagging for years. So, but the dividends are going to be quite good there. They're coming back in. And two more quickly for Wednesday. In the Style, ticker ITS, a small fast fashion Me Too sort of business, like a tiny Boohoo. In line Christmas trading update, supply chain problems and costs have meant the forecasts have come down. So it was really a fairly cunningly disguised profit warning that nobody seems to have noticed. I don't think there's much appeal to that share. It's really just operating around break-even, and it's too small in a very competitive sector. Similarly with Eve Sleep, ticker EVE, I've given up on this. They reported it's still loss-making. The cash in the bank has halved. I don't think the business model's going to work, so I've given up on Eve Sleep. Okay, over to you, Jack.
Thanks. So I've got Midwich. That's the ticker MIDW. It's another profit upgrade here for this audiovisual reseller. It's on a forecast PE ratio when I last looked of about 22 times. So it's reasonably pricey for a reseller, I think, although the momentum is good here. But it's just, I'm kind of neutral still. If you consider, you know, where does the value tend to accrue? Is it to the resellers in the middle, or is it to the people making products and the, you know, people on either side there? So 22 times forecast PE rating, I think it seems to be doing well, but I'm staying neutral there. Next one, Science and Sport with the ticker SIS. I find this one a bit more interesting. It was a slight beat on revenue. I've got it down as. This is a sports nutrition company. It's still loss-making, and statistically, loss-making companies are riskier, but some of them do make it and become enterprises of substantial scale. And I think Science and Sports, on balance, is more likely than some of the others to make it. It's led by an ex-GlaxoSmithKline head of something or other to do with sports nutrition, basically. It's quite a long job title, the GSK. Anyway, so strong momentum online, underlying EBITDA growth to £2.2 million. Net cash has gone down from 10.5 to 4.9 million. So still in that cash burn phase and investing for growth and scale. And it is investing for growth and scale. It looks like break-even is approaching. I think it's a good update, but the valuation is quite pricey. I think the market cap is close to £100 million, still not made a profit yet, but that could change. Then the last one is Appreciate with the ticker APP. It's an inline update. This is a company gifting and engagement company. There's signs of stabilization in the operations, and there could be a possibly earnings upgrades once Q4 figures are received and the kind of the Christmas numbers come in. This used to be a Christmas savings company specifically, and it's since identified what it says is a £7 billion corporate gifting opportunity. I don't know enough about the situation to comment one way or the other. I think it's been quite a volatile share price. The shares absolutely collapsed a while back, so I think the market is also unsure quite what to make of it, and so I left it there. And that's my wrap for Wednesday. How's Thursday looking for?
Yeah, just on Appreciate, I was one of my PR friends sent me some bump on it.
So I was
actually having a look at it last night, and I like you, I just can't make my mind up on it. I don't know whether it's there's potential turnaround at Appreciate, but I don't know. I just don't like the whole concept of these discount cards. Anyway, on to Thursday. Revolution Bars, one of my medium-sized holdings, and in line with expectations update for Christmas trading, but the expectations are set very, very low. So it was actually a tough December. The semi-lockdown that we kind of had in the second half of December it meant that their like-for-likes for the last 2 weeks or so of December were pretty poor. So, yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's historic now, and I think it's set up for a bumper year going forward. Very interestingly, they've got 19 sites being refurbished in the next 6 months. That's 28% of the whole estate. Now, that will that should drive strong like-for-like sales. So I think Revolution Bars is now set up for a very good 2022. I like that, and it's cheap. Obviously cheap for a reason, because it's been a poor performer in the past, but I think they fixed the problems. Gear for Music, I also have a few of those. That was an inline update. The price looks a bit toppy now, given how so many other e-commerce companies have collapsed in price, but I think there are good catalysts for growth there with an acquisition called AV.com and two new warehouses coming online in Europe, which they say will trigger a resumption of growth in Europe, which has been negative recently. And then the last one, this is a bit of a wild card, Superdry. I've been very critical about this in the past. Julian Duncan, I think it is, who came back, the founder, has been talked to an awful lot about resetting the brand and so on, but there's been nothing in the figures to indicate there is a turnaround. I think that's changed. The interim figures that came out yesterday, it's looking to have stabilised around break-even now. I think they've had 2 years of having to sort out all the mistakes of the previous management. It's got a lot of cost headwinds, and I do think they're getting some hidden profit from provision releases related to IFRS 16, but there is, to me, the beginnings of signs of a turnaround there. And the Investor Meet company webinar they did yesterday was absolutely brilliant. Dunkerton's a real force of nature, so I think anyone interested in the company should definitely take a look at that. I'm actually going from negative to neutral, slightly positive on this one. I think there is potential there. Over to you.
Okay, that's interesting. I recall Superdry kind of fell almost in tandem with Ted Baker, two steep
that's
falls
right,
from
yeah.
grace. Maybe Superdry will win that race.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got Wincanton. This is one of my highlights of the week, I would say. Ticker's WIN. This is a logistics company. Full year profit to be ahead of expectations. I think management looks to be executing really well here. It's shown good control over costs. It's won new contracts. It's extended some. These are from government departments and well-known high street brands and all sorts. So seems to be doing really well. It's also on a modest valuation. So the shares did go up, but there are financial risks here as well. Like when I looked, it's actually now a negative net tangible asset value. You know, these companies always have a lot of costs in them and things like that. So there are some risks here, but the trading momentum is very strong, and it looks like the management team is doing a good job. So I think it's worth a look. Then there's Wix, which I hold. That's W-I-X. This is a spin-off of Travis Perkins. I bought some shares, more to keep tabs on it, because spin-offs can be interesting opportunities, you know, with the management freed up and not at the beck and call of some larger corporation's agenda. So Wix is Home Improvement, you might know the name. Q4 sales were down 5% on tough comps, but up 14% on a two-year basis. I think it's on something like an 8.9 times forecast PE ratio. So it's really that valuation, and that's attracted me, and can management do something good with their newly independent status? On the stock report, it says it's got quite a lot of debt, but if you look, that's mostly capital leases. So the company's actually net cash. It has said the net cash position at H1 will come down by the end of the year due to IT separation costs and a couple of other things. There is competition in the space, so you know it's not a slam dunk, but I'm curious to see how it can perform as a listed entity, whether it can defend and grow market share. If it can, then I think the shares could be cheap. Then the last one for Thursday was Time Finance. This is possibly the cheapest stock I covered this week. Its ticker is TIME, Time. It does asset financing to SMEs, small and medium enterprises. It's trading at a discount to tangible book value around 0.86. It showed modest levels of growth in this update, but given the valuation, you don't need terrifically good news to re-rate, I don't think. Not much is expected from the market, really. That's because over the past few years, it went on a buy and build strategy, and if you look at the share price chart, it's come down from about 60p to 25p. There's been a new CEO put in around June 2021. It's someone that used to work at the company. They've shifted from that buy and build strategy to one focusing on organic growth. So it is now a micro cap, but I think the investment case is changing, and it's one to probably take another look at some point. So that's Thursday, and now we're on Friday, Paul.
Yeah, well, nothing much today of interest other than the Works, ticker WRKS, which several readers asked me to look at. Very good update, ahead of expectations, guidance is raised, they're talking about reinstating dividends, it's got lots of cash. But if people read my article today, they'll see that actually, if you dig into the detail, there are some question marks. I think the cash is a seasonal blip, rather than the trade creditors are huge and tend to reduce sharply in H2. And also, I think it's got a massive benefit from business rates relief. So when that phases out, the profits could take a tumble. So I think that one needs quite careful research. Then just a couple of general points. Oh, well, no, you do yours, Jack, for today.
Okay, sure. I just did the one that's Eurocell, ticker ECEL. So this is PVC repair and recycling installation. It shows strong sales momentum, full year profit before tax to be slightly ahead of the consensus figure of £26.5 million. There's ongoing cost inflation, which is being mitigated by price increases and surcharges, a couple of growth projects in the works that will increase capacity. It's not the kind of stock that has historically traded at a premium valuation. It's currently around 12.2 times forecast rolling earnings. So it looks like the company is doing a good job, but I just wonder how much re-rating potential there is here. So I'm staying neutral on that, but favorable view of how it's executing.
Okay. Shall I just do a couple of general market points as well, if that's all right with you?
Absolutely, go.
Yeah, I think obviously at the moment market's dominated by this big sell-off correction, whatever, in the US, which is, you can see it feeding through into sentiment in UK small caps is again turning sour at the moment, with, I think, seemingly indiscriminate, almost panic selling I'm starting to see again, which we had, of course, a lot of that in Q4 last year. So turning very negative again. In my mind, it's an opportunity because, you know, the market's throwing a mid-season sale at the moment and offering us cheap bargains just at the point when the economy is opening up again and COVID appears to be largely over, I think, certainly the pandemic phase. So I think I'm seeing opportunities at the moment for picking up one or two bargains. Obviously, everyone's focused on inflation, supply chains and interest rates, but I personally think those are, to a certain extent, red herrings. I think the US market just has been ridiculously over optimistic and overly bullish and in a speculative frenzy, really, in 2020 and 2021. And I think we're just being a sort of natural scrubbing off of speculative valuations, which I see as a good thing. So I'm avoiding all pre-profit companies at the moment and story stocks. Mm. So I think they're the most vulnerable, which you touched on earlier. And obviously buying the dip in America has stopped working, but it could easily resume. You know, the sentiment in America can change so quickly that I think it's quite important to be greedy when everyone else is fearful, I think, to a certain extent. So over to you. Any closing remarks, Jack? Market comments?
I'd echo that sentiment. I think I also share the relatively level-headed view in terms of that there is signs of value emerging. I also think over the past month, and possibly longer, like there's this interesting divergence between the FTSE All-Share Index and the FTSE AIM All-Share Index, which, you know, indicates larger market cap companies are their share prices are holding up better than smaller caps at the moment. So I think private investors probably are feeling a disproportionate amount of pain. So the AIM All Share Index is not having a good time. But I do think, I think there's some attractive opportunities out there in proven profitable companies with decent growth prospects.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, and also, just a final mention for a subscriber, Stockopedia subscriber, Nick Barnes 67. He put his first comment up today of his membership, and it was absolutely brilliant. It was all about supply chains and freight handling that he does in his profession. So I just wanted to welcome Nick Barnes 67 to our community with an absolutely brilliant first post. So thank you, Nick.
Yeah, it's great. I replied to that comment. I was very thankful for it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, excellent. Anything else, or are we all done?
I think we're all done, Paul. Shall we wrap it up there?
Yeah, let's wrap it up there. Just about 30 minutes, so that's pretty good going.
We are professionals.
Sometimes. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Luke.
Thanks, Paul. All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.